Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, F. and Ronnie, and with me, as always,
the Zombie Master.
As well as...
It is I, Trips, and hey! Boom! Walk off! All right.
And...
Captain Stuntcock himself, and that intro was fucking glorious.
Yes, it was. So how does Dustin like getting that Oakland dick in his mouth?
I'm sure he's not happy about it.
No. I mean, hey, sooner or later, at least it'd be fancy dick. It's going to Vegas.
Dick. Damn, dude. That sounds like a really bad brand of cat food.
You know, that or pate. Fancy dick.
It's fancy dick. Creator of Jizzball.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
With enough grip to get you bombed.
Oh, yeah. The old Jizzball.
The old Jizzball.
Brought to you by Snail Trail. Population 2000.
Snail Trail. That's a byproduct of... Was that a byproduct of?
He's already dead.
Byproduct of the Spice Channel.
The greatest water slide ever. I'm not finishing that joke. If you know, you know.
Dummy. Dummy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and on today's show, it's just going to be us bullshitting. The only real big thing that we got going on today is it's the preview of the Mountain West for college football. Some teams leaving, some teams joining. Actually, a big team leaving one conference for another in college football. That just broke today. Shohei Ohtani is officially off the board. They will not be trading him.
No.
And the Angels are expecting to buy on the deadline.
They're going to buy what?
Whatever they fucking need.
God forbid
Shohei can't do it all on his own.
Well, let me put it to you this way. They're trying to do everything this year because they know for goddamn sure he ain't going to be there next year.
No, he ain't signing. He already came out and said he's tested free agency, so there's no chance in hell that he's signing.
So the Angels are going to be like, we're going to win it this year, or if not, it was our best shot.
They ain't winning the World Series. Even with Trout, they wouldn't win the fucking World Series.
No.
Hell, I don't even think they'll get to the fuck... I don't even think they'll get to a fucking playoff game. What are they?
I mean, they'll make it harder than the Cardinals.
So Ohtani's off the market.
He's staying an Angel.
Well, I've been hearing rumblings that Hader and Soto might be moved.
Well, Soto, just because they hate each other. They hate – everyone hates each other in fucking
Yeah, the Padres don't know if they're selling or buying, so yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Ryan, what is your thoughts about the Cardinals making Contreras available for trade?
look, I'm not surprised. The fact of the matter is everybody wants to compare this kid to Yadier Molina. The fact is, Yadier Molina was a once-in-a-lifetime player. We got lucky enough to have him in our lifetime. Wilson Contreras is not going to be Yadier Molina.
Well, obviously, no, but it's like you signed
but
that big...
He's also having a hard time adjusting to the St. Louis way of baseball. It's not his fault. He comes from a fucking shit organization. He comes from the fucking Cubs.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm not surprised that they put Contreras up, but they need to make sure that we have a strong catcher, and we need to get rid of some other players too. We're definitely going to be sellers.
So do you think Goldie and Arenado are both on the way out?
Both are on their way out, and probably DeJongs, Flaherty, and O'Neill.
Yeah, I was going to say O'Neill. A lot of teams wouldn't mind having O'Neill.
No. No. Look, at this point, the Cardinals are doing the smart and the safe bet. We're not making the playoffs. Okay? We had high hopes for the season. The season went to shit.
That sounds familiar.
It happens. It happens, all right? We're just after the All-Star break. We know where we're at. Let's start building for next year. Start building for next year.
Well, it depends on how you guys' farm system is, if you got a deep farm system or if you're just going to restock it.
And normally our farm system's pretty good, but they're looking for a marquee name and lineup.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
cause if you're going to, I mean, I think about it this way. It's like, I know what you said about Yadier and stuff like that. You got to look at who just left your guys' team. Yadi, Pujols, Wainwright's probably done after this year.
Wainwright should have been done last.
I understand that, but here's the thing. With those three marquee names that are etched in Cardinals history and will be forever and ever, those are some mighty big shoes to fill.
There are some mighty big shoes to fill.
I mean,
but
I look at it.
It's not the first time. It's not the first time the Cardinals have had to rebuild like this. So I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, and I'm still wondering where the Mets are going to be, if they're going to be sellers or buyers. I have a feeling all those rental players are going to be gone as of the first. Canna, Vogelback, all them are going to be on the way out. But the problem is, and Ronnie, you know, we ain't going to get squat for either one of them guys.
You're going to get single A, double A guys for those guys. But I think, I don't know, for some reason I think Vogelback, you can tell Vogelback actually wants to be here.
Look, I like Vogie, okay? But this year he's greatly and grossly underperformed. You know, and Canna's up and down all damn year. And I got to figure if one of those guys goes or if both those guys goes, you're going to see Mauricio up here the second one of those guys or both guys are dealt.
Okay, hold on. I get this. I understand where you're coming from, but the minute they have a falter in the year, you're going to be right on the air, and same as everybody else in New York, saying he doesn't have it, he should stay down in the minors.
I would never say that because I didn't say that about Beatty.
You said it about Edwin Diaz, who was an all-star closer.
Well, Diaz was just, I'm sorry, and I said that. I was wrong. Diaz in the beginning was a train wreck. No Met fan could sit here and say he was a shining star, because
he
wasn't.
He played for an organization in Seattle that had nothing until...
Yeah, it's because, you know what? He went from the dim lights of Seattle and came to the bright lights of New York where he was going to be put under a microscope, and he couldn't handle it right away. It took him some time to settle in. Now he's not going to pitch this year, because if the Mets are sellers, I don't want Edward Diaz touching a mound again until spring of next year. But the only thing is a lot of people were shitting on Alvarez when Alvarez was faltering in his beginning. He's one of the top. He's actually what he's got the league lead in home runs for catchers in both leagues.
Okay, and I'm going to steal something from you then. That's one. That's three quarters of a season. Do it again next year.
Hey, if he does, great. If not, he'll be the first one to probably blame himself for it. Because he's done it before, and he'll do it again. Because in the beginning of the year, when he was floundering, he said, it's my fault.
Yeah, well.
But I don't know. But you know what? And if I hear one more person on Twitter say the Mets are trading Pete Alonso, I'm going to go to their house at the end of Jay and Silent Bob, strike back, and I'm going to beat the living fuck out of all of them.
Well, there's your first problem. You go on X, because X going to give it to you.
But no, but it's like I've heard, and I've seen it on Facebook too, where people are saying, oh, is Alonso going to be traded? Are the Mets going to entertain? Alonso is going no fucking where. The guy is going nowhere. So just zip your lips, take your fingers off the keyboards, and go sit and spin.
And welcome to Twitter.
No, X. Yeah, I know. It's X. X marks the spot, you know,
yeah,
right?
Why are
people on Brand X saying that shit?
Oh, yeah, I'm Brand X. Because that's what they call it now. It's fucking Twitter. That's what you're going to say. It's fucking Twitter.
Twatter.
No. See, as soon as Musk branded it X, all that was the Joker from Batman. Uh-oh. He used some Brand X. And I'm just laughing about it.
And I saw people putting GIFs of New Jack throwing up the X. But
I stopped caring about what Twitter thinks.
Oh, I know. I don't.
A long time ago.
Oh, I don't care what it's. I just wanted to get that off my chest because if any of these schmucks are listening, Pete Alonso is going to be a Met for life. He's going to be like David Wright. He will be a Met for life. He's not going to be like Jacob, my arm hurts, DeGrom, and leave. He's not going to be. He's going to be a Met for life. That's one guy I think I can hopefully safely say is going to be a Met for life. Ownership loves him. The fans love him. I think the fans would revolt if the day Pete Alonso was let go in any way, shape, or form.
And in all honesty, I even said it. There's rumors right now for the Mets to actually be buyers.
Well, we obviously, I'll say this. We're not winning the East. That's obvious.
Yeah.
We're only seven games out of the wild card. We know the wild card is not out of reach yet. We have to leapfrog over about four or five other teams. But it's not out of the realm of the possibility. Do I think it'll happen? No. But if they're going to be buying, who are they going to buy?
Well, the rumor going around is Corbin Burns and Christian Yelich.
Well, you had said that. I've been looking that up. I haven't seen any traction to that. Where did you read that?
What is it? I heard it on the radio.
I was going to say, because I've been trying to find it. I haven't really seen any. I mean, I'll take both of those guys for nothing, practically nothing, because it'll be a salary dump for Milwaukee. We already know that. Just to get rid of Yelich's contract. And Burns ain't making shit. So.
No, but the difference is Burns has the year.
He's got a year of control.
He's got a full year, year and a half.
Well, I figure that's going to cost us maybe one or two mid-level prospects. You're not going to get any. You're not going to give any top levels for that. Because Yelich, you know, they're just going to throw Yelich just to get him off the fucking team, just to get his contract off. And you know, Uncle Stevie will be saying, "I'll pay it." What about your Phillies, Chris? Who are they eyeballing?
I mean, what, Byron? I mean, who knows? I mean, well, that... I've heard rumors. I heard a Strowman rumor. I'm like, please, God, no.
I will laugh my ass off if Strowman's a Philly. I'm sorry. I will laugh my ass off if you guys get that headache.
I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe Strowman might be good because, I mean, he lives to piss off the Mets. So, who knows? But I'm more for Giolito or one of the pitchers from the White Sox because God knows we need a fifth because Sanchez ain't it. That dude, every time he takes the mound, I can just chalk it up to a loss right away. I'm like, nope, yeah, we're good.
Who's your second baseman?
Second baseman?
Yeah.
Usually it's... They interchange it a lot. It's either Stott, Turner...
Well, Turner's your designated short.
Bryson Stott is usually the guy that's been starting a lot.
Yeah, Turner. First base now is like Bohm, Harper, or the other guy. Paul?
Yeah, well, there's two guys on the trading block that's very interesting that I want to see if they get dealt. One, and I asked why the second baseman was, because I can see Tim Anderson getting traded and going to second.
Oh, the White Sox want to dump him in the worst fucking way.
Yep, you can get him, and you can probably get him for cheap.
You can get him for jizz balls for pretty much.
I mean, now with Harper going to first, I mean, you can... Schwarber's playing more DH.
I mean, if you want a guy that is a, so you got JT.
So we need a guy in the outfield, I guess. I
well,
know.
then the guy in the outfield that's on the trading block, Hunter Renfroe.
Isn't he with Kansas City, or is he with the Giants?
Anaheim.
Oh, he's with Anaheim.
Hunter Renfroe would be good. Who knows? They're gonna try to break the bank. And
or
get
here you go. Here you go, Tyler O'Neill.
O'Neill's going to be a good pickup for any team.
I mean, the Cardinals have got a lot of chips, but the thing is, like, you know they're going to want a lot of prospects.
Well, pretty much,
because the Cardinals got a lot of, like, all-stars and former all-stars.
What I can say but it's like the only thing I question about that is you said about the Cardinals. Yeah. The Cardinals are going to look to do a major salary dump because I don't know how much Goldschmidt's making. I know Arenado's making a lot of fucking money. And I know Contreras is making a lot of money. I don't know what Tyler O'Neill's contract is. But
Goldie has 1 year left on his contract, right?
Who does?
Yeah, Goldie's got a year.
Goldie's got 1 year. Arenado's got 3 or 4 years left. O'Neill, I don't know. I think he's under control.
I mean, if you want to trade somebody, I have a feeling if they're going to trade somebody, they want to trade somebody who they can have control of, that they actually, you know, have a couple of years of, not just a one-year rental.
I think the only one out of those names is O'Neill. I think he's the only one that's under control, but I don't know. I think it's for a year.
Hold on. I was just looking at something about Chris Bryant.
Why, the Rockies looking to dump him?
No, I would have thought so, but he's got a broken finger. He's on DL. O'Neill's good. O'Neill's good till 24. He's in arbitration.
Yes.
So he's got a year or two of control
on him. Turner, Bryce Harper, and Nick Castellanos? God damn.
Hold on. Salvador Perez is actually got a contract through 26.
He's a good catcher.
Yeah.
The one that everyone's been lining up to is fucking Cody Bellinger.
Well, because basically he signed a show-me contract with who? The Cubs?
Yeah.
And because basically the Dodgers cut him, he signed a 1 year deal with them, and he figured if he hit good, he figured he was going to get dealt at the deadline, or he's going to sign a big contract in the offseason.
Well, He's got an option in 24 for 12 and a half mil.
Is it a player option or it's a club option?
Mutual.
Oh, so if he's playing good, he might just say, fuck it, I'm going to go test the market.
Right now, I got his 68 games played, 14 home runs, 44 RBIs, batting .319.
That's not too shabby.
Outfield bat?
Outfield and first base. He plays both.
That would be a guy, if I'm your Phillies, that's a guy I'm cornering.
Goldie's got another year of control. He's good till 24. And Nolan Arenado is good till 27.
Yeah, so you got three more years with him.
I have a feeling Bellinger is a rental, though, because of one-year deal.
Bellinger? It's not a one-year deal. He's got an option in 24.
Well, like I said, but like you said, he's got a player. It's a player and a club. So if the club decides to wants to exercise it, he could turn around and say, well, no, I'm opting out.
It's a mutual option, but I think he's going to take it. $12.5 million that he can guarantee himself.
But if he gets dealt to a team, like if he gets dealt to the Phillies and the Phillies turn around and say, we'll give you an extension.
Well, yeah, that's different. If they're going to say you're going to give him an option, then he'll turn down the 12.5 and take whatever the option is. Or
sure.
He can be going to where he was tied to, and hello, Christian, you're Yankees.
What's up?
Cody Bellinger, possibly going to the Yanks. What do you think?
Why?
I mean, outfielder for Judge, if Judge can't play the outfield.
Yeah, but then, okay, this has Joey Gallo 2.0 written all over it.
No, Cody's a better player than Gallo.
Oh, he's a much better player.
Okay.
He's got, we just brought up his stats. He's got 14 home runs, 44 RBIs?
14, 40, and batting .319.
All I'll say is this. Aaron comes back on Friday. The run is about to begin right now. And any haters I see, and there's one on this panel right now, Chris. yeah, just wait and see. But weren't the Yankees also targeting a starting pitcher, John, by chance? Who could you see them targeting?
You know what? There are so many starting pitchers that I've been hearing on the bubble that are possibly, I don't know who the fuck they can get right now, because I don't know if they have the draft capital or if they have the prospect capital to get a mega name.
Honestly,
you weren't here. No, not to cut you off. But before you got here, Ronnie pretty much made the announcement. Ohtani's off the block. He's not going
anywhere.
Yeah,
I just saw that. So it's going to be a bidding war for him in the off season. Like, it's coming down to the Yankees, the Dodgers, and
the Mets.
And the Mets, yeah. I think it's going to be those three teams that are going to really fight for his services. If he's smart, he'll go to the Bronx.
Yeah, they're going to have to back up the Brinks truck for him, though.
Look, man, look. I'll go put gas in a fucking Brinks truck.
You know what? I'm surprised they don't want to. The one team I'm surprised that didn't really take a full run at him, even for a rental that had a best chance of winning the World Series, is Tampa.
But see, that's the thing. Tampa isn't necessarily a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not an ideal spread.
No, but if he was just there for the rental and he left, you have Tampa Bay with how they've been slumping. If they have a chance,
I love that. I told.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell?
Oh no, you're right. You were right. We knew this wasn't going to hold up.
And I said that. And I said that too. I said that at the beginning of the year too. I said there's no way Tampa Bay is going to be able to maintain this.
John, don't tell him shit else, but what he don't know.
Didn't I say that too? That makes sense.
Yeah,
they weren't going to be able.
He don't know shit.
They were nowhere near going to be able to maintain.
So do you think, like, honestly, let me ask all of you, is the AL East still wide open, or do you think Baltimore has it signed, sealed, and delivered?
I think Baltimore's got it locked up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because Baltimore's just playing too good.
Yeah, I mean, they hit time. They have timely hitting. They have good pitching. But here's a question for you, John. Like, does this last for them, or is it going to be tough for them come playoff time?
Well, I'll say this. We already the Orioles have already said made it. I've looked because I've been checking around. I've been listening to chatter on different MLB Network and stuff like that. The Orioles intend on being big time buyers at the deadline. If they could get one or two big pieces on that team, like if they could get, I don't know how their starting rotation is out right now. But if they can get a bit, if they get another decent bat, and they could get some bullpen help, and it's maybe a starting pitcher. They could be. They could make a run of this and make every team go, wait a minute, Baltimore? It's. I don't see. I don't put it out of the realm of the possibility. There's a few teams that I could pretty much say are pretty much going to be on the outside looking in, and unfortunately, one of them is my team. Unfortunately, it's Ryan's team. I said it earlier. I mean, the Mets are still in the wild card race, but unless they make unless they make a big splash at the deadline and get somebody that's really going to impact them and overtake them to maybe make a serious playoff run, I don't see the Mets doing anything for the rest of the year.
What about Houston?
I don't think Baltimore's actually going to win the East. I have a feeling that. What do they really have? Because if they're buying, I mean, a lot of their pieces are pieces that are very integral right now. So that could upset their whole chemistry. I mean, like you trade someone away to get somebody back, but the only teams are going to be interested in are people that are doing shit for you now. So
that.
Yeah, that's a problem. So they don't really have anybody in the minors.
That's where – I'm sorry to say, Chris, that's where you are wrong. I looked at Baltimore's minor league system. They got some kids down there that are about ready to break out big time. They've got a few pieces down at AA and that are on the verge of getting bumped up to AAA, and there's some kids in AAA that are on knocking on the door to majors. They've got some pieces because if you think about it, the last couple of years, Baltimore has been absolutely the drizzling shits. But then that's for being the drizzling shits, they got some good draft capital down there. They made some excellent draft picks, and they made some trades and got some good minor leaguers back.
But are they willing to give that up for rentals?
Depends on who it is. All I know is the one person the Orioles are missing big time is Means, because Means is out. I think he's out with the year for Tommy John, I think.
But, Chris, they won't give him up. They will not be giving up major league prospects.
For rentals.
They have to have at least a year or two of control under them.
Right. That's where the Tyler O'Neills, that's where there's some guys with the Mets that have some options and stuff like that. There's guys out there that Baltimore could snag. Like, believe it or not, Jose Quintana, who's pitching tonight, he only pitched one game, and he's already got five or six teams interested in him, including Baltimore.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of that Baltimore probably is going to trade for an arm to replace Means or Lomacher. Place and but to give them another better option because they know Means is out.
Christian, with your team, is there any guy that you know that's of major league caliber that's been linked to trade rumors that you want to see the Yankees land at the deadline?
Wow, that's a good question. Just around the league, you mean?
Either league.
Yes, actually, you know who I would like to see us go after, but I don't know what this team in particular would want for him. Why not a guy like a Dylan Cease? You know, I think he could bring some depth to the rotation. You get what I'm saying, John?
I got you. And he's with who?
The White Sox.
The White Sox, okay.
The reason why I say him is because I think – so I'm looking at it from a positive and a negative aspect. Let's start with the positive. Like, this guy can pitch. I mean, you give this guy the ball every fifth day, and he's giving you consistent outings. You know, just
right.
having lived out there and having seen what he can do, I'm just like, wow, like, this guy's impressive. The only thing that sucks for him is he never got the run support out there with the White Sox. Like, I mean, this guy would throw 7.5 innings of two-hit baseball, and the offense wouldn't back him up or support him. So it was almost like a good pitching performance just going down the shitter, right?
Kind of like what – it's like Jacob DeGrom was with the Mets. He would pitch his heart out, and they wouldn't score dick for him.
Same with – and you know what? Because I was thinking about this, too, as I was telling you what I was just saying. This also reminds me of Chris Sale, because when Chris Sale was with the White Sox, I mean, Chris Sale was flawless, right?
And he was.
And anytime he pitched for the White Sox, he never got those bats to back him up. But here's the negative with Dylan Cease, and I say this with anybody. Can he handle New York?
That's what I was just going to say, that guy.
That, that's the million-dollar question, because, look, the Yankees have gotten some pitchers at the deadline before in the past. And
Sonny Gray.
Don't get me started on him. The sun don't shine forever. But, him, you know, and I was excited when we got him. But when I saw he just wasn't panning out, I'm like, I think the spotlight in New York is just kind of getting to him. I don't know if I want to put Frankie Montas in that same bracket necessarily, because he's just been hurt. You know what I'm saying? See, this is why, like, honestly, I'll say this, and a lot of people laugh at me every time I say it, but they can kiss the fattest part of my nutsack anytime I say it. If the Yankees had acquired Luis Castillo last year, the Yankees would have came out the American League.
No, you're not wrong.
I stand by that. Cashman wanted the cheaper option, because I bet, how much you want to bet, the Reds are probably asking for Volpe. They're probably asking for Dominguez. They're probably asking for Oswaldo Peraza or Cabrera. I bet you that's what the Reds were asking for. So Cashman went with the cheaper option, which was Frankie Montas. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily call him a bust, but, I mean, he hasn't necessarily panned out.
He hasn't been healthy either.
But even when he was, you know, he's given up 4 and 5 earned runs, not even making it to the sixth inning. But, yeah, then again, like you just said, the man hasn't been healthy.
But the same thing is, it's the same thing like you said before. You know, a guy could pitch, and because we said this about it, Ronnie brought this up about Edwin Diaz when I kind of slammed Edward Diaz when Diaz was there. Diaz was in Seattle where he was a big fish in a small pond. Then you come to the bright lights of New York, either the Mets or the Yankees, you're going to get put under a microscope, and he couldn't handle it right away. He eventually came around, but who's to say that it was going to take some time? It took a year and a half to 2 years for him to actually get acclimated to New York, and then he embraced it. And he pitched all right until he celebrated too much and hurt his leg.
Right.
But anyway, but I digress. But here's the thing, too, when you brought up Chicago. We brought this up earlier. I don't know if you heard it, that Chicago is practically begging people to take Tim Anderson.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I'm so glad you said that, John, because I wouldn't mind Tim Anderson on the Yankees because, yeah, you know
where
what?
Where would you play him? Where would you play him? Where would you play him?
Hold on. Motherfucker, this motherfucker. Motherfucker, that's my purse. I don't know you. I look like I put my foot in your ass.
But would you get rid of DJ then?
I would get rid of Glaber.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Yeah,
you've
got to get rid of one of them.
This is what I would do. So if I get rid of Glaber, right? And maybe a prospect, maybe. I would get rid of Glaber, and I would start DJ at third. I would start Volpe at short. Can Tim Anderson play second base?
That's, yeah.
Hold up.
You see, you know
Wait him. A minute.
You know, you've seen Anderson play more than any of us here because you were in Chicago.
I have.
So
I mean,
you tell us, has he ever played second base in your time of watching him?
Yeah, let me see. You know what, John? I'm glad you asked. I like looking things up. You know, hold on. Let me see. He's a shortstop. He probably knows how to play. Let me see. Here, I'm looking right now. Yeah, he's just a shortstop. So what I would do is, wait, here, let me see if Anthony Volpe can play any other position.
I've watched the kid play.
Shortstop only, too. So
yeah.
What I would do, if the Yankees were to get Tim Anderson, I would out. But it's just like what John would say. Where the hell would you put him? So I would probably, I would probably bring Peraza up. Peraza is the third baseman, right, John?
I believe so, yes.
I would probably, here, let me look. In that,
no, Peraza is the other shortstop.
Hold on, let me
see.
I think Peraza has played other positions.
That was supposed to go to second.
I'm looking up Oswaldo Cabrera. Okay, so this is what I would do. I would bring up Oswaldo Cabrera, right? Because he's a utility guy. So I would start him at third. I would, or you could even put him at second. So I would put DJ at third. Platoon between Tim Anderson and Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Because, look, we knew it wasn't going to be smooth sailing for Anthony coming into his rookie season, right? So I would platoon between them. You could play DJ or Oswaldo at second. You keep Rizzo at first. Or you could even make DJ a DH because he's really been shitting the fucking bed this year. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's his mental, but he's not that guy that we saw 2 and 3 years.
He's getting older.
That's
the problem.
He was old, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even mind getting rid of him. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been good, but nah, man. You know, the Yankees are never necessarily sellers at the deadline. The closest thing they were to sellers was 2016 when they got rid of Carlos Beltran. They got rid of Brian McCann. You know, they pretty much told A-Rod, like, look, fuck you, you're retiring. you know, like, that's probably the closest we'll see to the Yankees being sellers at the deadline. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind Tim Anderson. Throw out some other names, and I'll let you know if I would want them.
Well, the only thing is like we said earlier, and it's like because Ronnie had mentioned about a trade the Mets were kind of linked to of Corbin Burnes and Christian Yelich from the Brewers. That Yelich would simply be a salary dump for the Brewers.
Yeah, I like him. Didn't he just win an MVP not too long ago?
Three years ago. He's been shitting the bed the last couple of years. He hasn't really performed.
He doesn't want to be in freaking mildew. It smells like
he fucking signed this. He signed an extension with them.
Hey, listen. It may smell like cheese, but at least it smells like beer too.
But you know what it is too, and it's like, Anderson, I know the White Sox have been begging people to take him because they are sick of him. And I can't say, I mean, because you've seen him play more than anybody, but I've seen him on occasion. That guy is a hot dog in every aspect of the word. He could be a locker room problem.
Cool.
From what I've heard. And Tim Anderson.
Yeah, and it's because of his wife, too.
He thinks his shit don't stink.
Yeah, but
he's a major league athlete. He's got an ego. Shocking.
Yeah.
No, there's egos, and then there's him.
Again, you're talking about a major league athlete. Shocking.
I'll tell you this, though. If he did come here, I'd go to a game and specifically call him Jackie. Oh, I'll do it, too.
I remember that.
Listen. You can always go on a Zoom meeting and bitch about it.
Oh, I'll do it, too.
Just like the running backs in the NFL.
Hey, you be respectful.
Oh, yeah, respectful. Oh, I want $14 million to carry a ball. Oh, you're getting 7. Oh, I'm going to sit out. Okay, next up.
I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But
but I got to figure by next Wednesday, the dust will have settled because the deadline's on Tuesday, and it'll actually give us fodder for Wednesday.
So if the Yankees don't get Cody Bellinger, I kind of want him now because, John, you sold me on him.
Because you know what it is? He's a lot better option than what they have. If the judge comes back, great. Grand. Wonderful. Got nothing against Aaron Judge. But I don't know. It's iffy with him.
Honestly, I was telling my mom this, but I hope the Yankees aren't rushing him back. You know what I'm saying? Because
I have a feeling they are. I have a feeling they are.
Because I really hope they're not rushing him back only for him to get hurt again. Because honestly, this season reminds me a lot of 2013. Like, I had no hope then, and I damn sure don't have hope now. Because just the injuries.
Well, it's because it's the same thing like Ronnie said earlier in the year. He thinks Diaz thinks he's going to pitch again this year. Edwin
really?
Diaz. Oh, Ronnie, did you or did you not say that to me? Say that.
He's throwing off a flat ground.
Wow, I didn't know that. Because he got hurt during the WBC, right?
Yeah,
he celebrated too much and ripped his leg up.
Oh, what an idiot.
Yo, Christian, who's your five?
My five?
Your fifth
number
starter.
Five pitcher on the Yankees.
Ah, God, it's really been by a committee because it's supposed to be Cole, Rodon, Cortez, Seve. I want to say it's been Clark Schmidt, if I'm not mistaken, or no, Domingo. Domingo Herman, like, it's really fluctuated, Chris. Wow,
okay, if it is Domingo, want to trade for Christopher Sanchez straight up?
Tell me about him.
He wants him gone in the worst way.
I was going to say, just for that laugh right there, that's a no.
Yeah, that sounded like a
Christian, let me put it to you this way. Christian, let me put it to you this way. Before you came on the show, Chris's words were, and this isn't verbatim, every time he starts, it's a guaranteed loss. That's exactly your words, Chris, about this guy. And you want to trade
the
Yankees? What are you smoking?
Dude, it is the truth.
Then why would you offer him to the Yankees?
Starts, we lose.
Yeah, so you're going to offer Christian, you want this guy straight up? Herman is 10 times better the pitcher than Sanchez is. Christian, you don't want any part of this kid. Nothing.
Somebody mute his microphone. Not
That's
you.
Why I was offering him up.
Yeah. For anybody on the Yankees, anybody in the starting five, let me put it to you this way. Anybody in the Mets starting five is better than him.
The WNBA is better than him.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You want him? We'll straight up trade for your number five.
Yeah. We'll take him for a bag of jizz balls and a couple of broken bats.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
That's all he's worth. I'm sorry. He's not worth shit. But the thing is, it's like, I just think that this deadline is going to be, since Ohtani's off the block now, who's the big fish that everybody's going to go after?
Yeah, but
that's the question.
I don't know,
who's the
like,
biggest
I'm
fish?
I'm reading right now that the Yankees aren't an active buyer, and if that happens, I'm not watching another fucking game.
Yeah.
Seriously, because like,
talk amongst yourself, I'll be right back.
All right.
I'm reading something right now. The Yankees have been linked to Cody Bellinger and Randall Grichuk.
Randall Grichuk from he's with the Rockies.
Yeah.
You know what? He's not a bad bad fourth outfielder. He's not terrible. His best years were with Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto basically said he was getting up there in years. I think he's like, what, 32 or 33, I'm not sure. And they basically got – the Rockies got him for nothing. They didn't really give up a hell of a lot to get him.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he wouldn't be a bad – he would be – in the line of a Harrison Bader pickup.
Yeah, God, I wonder what the hell is going to happen with that guy because he can't stay healthy.
He's playing tonight.
Okay.
He's playing center tonight. He made a good catch earlier.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, I would love for the Yankees to here. Let me, like, I was looking something up. I was looking for the Yankees to, you know, they need a pitcher. I would love for them to get another guy who can really kind of, like, spruce things up in a rotation. Because I'm just going to put it to you like this, John. This Luis Severino experiment, it's over. He's mad and consistent. There's no in-between with him. When he's on, he's good. But when he sucks, he really sucks.
Oh, that's for sure.
You know, but then again, he hasn't been healthy either. And I don't know if the Yankees want to take a chance on him anymore.
Well, let me put it this way. When Sevy hits free agency, whenever that is, you know he's not going to get a high-end contract if
he
does. Go. You know, and there's a guy that somebody – I saw it today. There's a kid in RAA. He's right now he's pitching in single A, and he's about to get promoted to double A. It's Blake Tidwell, his name is.
Okay.
And his last – he's got a 1.85 ERA in his last 11 starts.
So Kevin just texted me, and he said –
Is he listening?
About his – huh?
He's listening?
No, he just texted me. There's some trade news. The Guardians just traded Rosario to the Dodgers.
We heard that we talked about that earlier because Noah Syndergaard was included in that deal. Noah Syndergaard is an Indian, a Guardian, or whatever.
Wow.
How the mighty Thor has fallen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his third team in less than 2 years.
Yeah, that's something.
He went from the Mets to the Angels to the Dodgers, now to the Guardians. That's four teams in less than 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, that's pathetic.
That's insane.
And he keeps getting dumped. What does that tell you, Thor? You don't have it no more. Take your blonde ass and go to Hollywood and become an actor.
Hey, you be respectful.
I'm sorry. He was a former Met. I'm going to give him shit.
Okay. Yeah, but I would love him. I want to see, like, starting pitchers who are on the market, like, potentially on the deadline market. Starting pitchers.
It's not a hell of a lot of them out there.
Trade
not
deadline.
A lot of,
okay.
Not a lot of big names. There's not, unfortunately.
Let's see. Eduardo Rodriguez.
I've heard that name.
Michael Lorenzen. Lucas Giolito. I wouldn't mind him in New York.
Chris wants him in Philly.
Yeah, okay.
You want Giolito.
Yeah, Giolito would definitely want him.
Yeah, okay.
Listen. All we know right now is it don't matter because we got a week.
Jack Flattery.
Isn't he a former Yankee, though?
No, he's a former – he pitches for the Cardinals.
Yeah, but Flattery ain't going nowhere. He's got too much – I think he's got too many years on him.
I wouldn't mind this guy back in a Yankee uniform. Jordan Montgomery. Shane Bieber.
Bieber might be out for the year with an injury.
James Paxton. Marcus Stroman. Yeah, fuck that guy.
I said to Chris, I'd laugh my ass off if that pain in the ass ended up in Philly.
Kyle Hendricks.
Hendricks has got a couple years on him, too.
Honestly, this is another guy I wouldn't mind. John, and we had him a couple years ago. Lance.
The problem with Stroman believes he's an ace, and he's not. And if we got him, he'd be like, no, you'd be a five behind Walker. You think you'd be cool with that? No, he caused shit. So fuck him.
Lance Lynn.
Lance Lynn is an interesting thing because I know he's cancer-free, right?
That's, what's his name? That's Liam Hendricks.
Liam Hendricks. I keep mixing those two up.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Lynn didn't like pitching in New York. That's why
he was good. I liked him.
Oh, he's good, yeah, but I don't think he likes pitching here.
Oh, okay.
I just got a vibe off of him that he just did not want to be here.
Yeah, Patrick Corbin.
Patrick Corbin, the guy from the Nationals?
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's terrible. He is not the Corbin he was 6 years ago.
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell.
Snell's awful.
Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, well, Cookie is going to stay with the Mets.
A guy that John just mentioned, Jose Quintana, and I've watched him for years.
Well, Quintana, he was with the White Sox for a lot of years, right?
Yeah, and he pitched for the Cubs.
Yeah, briefly he did pitch. He also pitched briefly for St. Louis, too.
Yeah.
And where did Ryan go? Did Ryan leave?
I just wonder what we would have to give up for this guy, Scherzer.
The only way Scherzer's going anywhere is if the team agrees to eat his entire contract.
Justin Verlander and Corbin.
That's another one. The only way that those two guys would go, and Ronnie agrees, that the only way those guys are going is if somebody agrees to pay their fucking contract.
Mm-hmm.
They both have one more year left on their contract. Scherzer's got one more year, and so does Verlander.
Yeah.
At 45 million plus.
Well,
and no team is willing to take that on.
Yeah, because I'm tired of Justin Verlander using us as jerk off material.
Well, I mean, he did roll you and smoke you last night.
Hey, you can fuck yourself.
You know what? And I got to say this. When did Carlos Rendon become Cy fucking Young tonight? I watched the guy's last couple starts, and he did nothing but shit to bed. Tonight he comes in, and he becomes Cy Young.
Because there's no such thing as actual hitting anymore in baseball.
I mean, and Quintana pitched okay tonight. He let up three runs, but he didn't pitch terrible. He's still coming back. The guy's coming back. This is only his second start back.
It's home run or bust nowadays. It's no such thing as that.
No, because, like, Alonso owned fucking the Yankees last night. Weren't you at the game last night? Christian, didn't you go to the game last night?
I did. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little
far away.
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Far away,
yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I was there.
I mean, how monstrous were those shots he hit yesterday?
Look, I don't think one of those balls landed. Because remember, I saw him in Chicago, and he hit a ball on Waveland at Wrigley so hard that I don't think that ball landed either. Like, he hit the ball.
I haven't seen the guy in person, but from what everybody said, he's a big motherfucker.
Yeah, he is. He's about 6'2", maybe north of 240, I want to say. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Boy, wouldn't you love to have him, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, I like Pete Alonso. I really do.
Yeah, you know, there's another guy that's on the Mets, right? He's currently up now. Tommy Pham, a lot of teams want him.
What position does he play? He
plays the outfield. He plays all outfield positions, center, right, and left.
That's the brother, ain't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take his ass, too.
Oh, well, he might be, because he's a one-year rental.
I don't know, man. Like, honestly, baseball, to me right now, is just as wide open as it's been in a very long time. Because there's really no favorite to win the whole thing, if you think about it.
Atlanta. Atlanta's running away with this.
I think Atlanta might be the best team in baseball.
They are.
Let's face it, though. It's kind of right now in that dead area where the countdown begins. Because as much as everyone likes baseball, you know, football's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And I'm actually looking forward to football starting because I'll actually watch some Jet games this year and not feel sick to my stomach that we got a shitty quarterback starting.
Yeah, because he finally wants to take a pay cut, and I've been calling his ass out.
He took a major pay cut today.
Who's Zach Wilson?
No, the Rodgers.
Did he really?
Yeah, because I was at camp on Sunday.
Yeah, he restructured his deal to extend it another 2 years, and he gets $75 million guaranteed, so that doesn't go against the cap hit.
Well, that's good, at least that.
I have a problem with it because I have been calling him for him to do this, and he was in Green Bay, and he never did it.
How do you feel about the no-tag clause?
Explain to me what it is again.
So the no-tag clause is kind of what they're thinking about putting in all running back ones where you can't franchise tag them.
So you have to pay them.
You have to pay them.
I'm not necessarily a fan of it, and I can explain why. And I kind of want to elaborate on Saquon too.
Well,
right?
You know what? Hold on. I think we're done with baseball.
I just got one more thing. I just got one more question, and this should be a pretty easy. This pretty much a, the ballot. They announced the ballot for the Hall of Fame next year. The top guys on the thing are Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Utley, David Wright, Bartolo Colon, Matt Holliday, Carlos Beltran, and a couple other names. Those were the top ones.
Beltre and Mauer are getting in.
Mauer definitely.
Is he gonna? Now the question is: are they gonna get in first ballot, or are they gonna get in second year?
Mauer
they'll
will
both
get
in
first.
On the first ballot.
Yeah.
And what about, I mean, and as much as it pains me, David Wright is not getting in.
No.
As much as it pains me to say that, because he had Hall of Fame numbers before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And as for Tolo, I think Bartolo gets a shot at us. I think he's not going to get wiped out this year, but I think he's going to remain on the ballot for at least another year or two because he's immensely popular. I think a lot of people are going to, he's going to get a lot of votes. But do you think he's Hall of Fame worthy, though?
I'll say yeah.
Ronnie, you?
On who?
Bartolo, Big Sexy.
No. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's a good story, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Let's see. What was his career numbers? He's... I don't have his career numbers up, but let me pull his career numbers up real quick, and then we'll move on. He finished with 247 wins, 188 losses, an ERA of 4.12, 2,535 strikeouts. Those are pretty good numbers.
Yeah, out of how many seasons?
He played for, well, he retired 5 years ago.
Yeah, but he was also playing, like, when the Expos were still around.
He was an Indian. He started his career with the Indians, actually.
Yeah, but I'm saying he had longevity. So you got to take the years into what he is.
I think he gets in, but I don't think he gets in right away. I think he gets in after a couple of years, but I definitely think the guy gets in.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, but that was it. That was the last thing I wanted to bring up.
Yeah. So Rodgers. So back to NFL.
Where did Ryan go? Did he?
He had a family emergency.
Oh, I didn't even hear him leave. That's why I just noticed he wasn't here. Oh, hope everything's all right. Look ahead, continue.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers' full breakdown deal, near 2 years, $75 million guaranteed of his $110 million. $35 million roster bonus will go in there. This year he will be paid $1.9 million of his base salary, and then $38 million next year. No tag clause.
So how many years does he have left on this contract?
4. He had 2 years from being traded this year to another 2 years to that, I believe.
That or they restructured, or they just restructured his deal.
All right, Christian, this is a question for you. Does he play the 4 years out?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
he's
already said he is. He already said it. He's only.
He said a couple years ago that he wants to play. He wants to play well into his 40s because he turns 40 this year. Yeah, he definitely does.
But he also said too, if he goes, if he doesn't play out of the rest of his contract, it's an insult to the Jets that traded for me.
Yeah. Now, Ronnie, what was that thing you were talking about the running backs? Because I was going to explain.
I'll be right back.
So, all the running backs decided to sit together on a Zoom call. And, let's just put it this way. It got nowhere. It literally took 20 minutes, and it meant jack shit.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much they're bitching about not getting the money they deserve.
Well, we know the shelf life of a running back doesn't really last. Like, you know, once they hit 27 and 28 years old, that's when they start to break down, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of people come to me, and a lot of them have said, oh, well, Saquon deserves, you know, his money. Saquon deserves to get paid because without him, the Giants don't make the playoffs. And, yes, that may be very much true. However, last year was Saquon's second full season starting since his rookie season. So I look at it as the Giants pretty much saying, oh, well, yeah, you know, you had a great year, you know, and you finally stay healthy, but you're not consistently available. And I'm sure that's one thing that the Giants had in the back of their heads. I could say the same about Josh Jacobs and the Las Vegas Raiders. Actually, let me see.
The difference between that is they actually did not take his fifth-year option. And he just goes and rushes for the...
All right, I'm back.
He just rushes his for, you know, the league leader.
Yeah.
He just leads the league in rushing.
What are you talking about, Saquon?
No, running back from Vegas.
Hey, I'm looking at him. I'm looking his name. I'm looking him up. Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Let me see. I mean, he's 25. Let's see. NFL's the career statistics. Yeah, I mean, he's been relatively healthy. His, you know, for most of his career, like he, in his rookie year, he started 13 games. In his second year, he starts 15. In his third year, he starts 14. And last year, he does all 17, and he led the league in rushing. And he's had three 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Only one he didn't was in 2021. Yeah.
Sorry, I just got breaking news that just came over Twitter or X, however you want to look at it. Sinead O'Connor died.
Yeah, Ooh. Sinead O'Connor passed. She passed away this afternoon.
Yeah, I heard.
And a lot of. Yeah, I have a feeling that was at her own. She might have died because her son committed suicide last year. And she never got over it.
Well, we don't have to speculate. I'm just.
I know, but I mean, I feel bad for that. You know, I mean, she lost her son last year, and I remember she never got over that.
There's no autopsy right now, so just she passed away. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. So. Okay, yeah, Rodgers gets the trade. So it looks like, but to answer your question, Christian, it looks like the running backs down the road are going to start getting this no clause tax added into their, or no tag clause added into their
what's it called, into their rookie contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if you have, if you're a first round pick, 5 years, and you hit free agency. Second later, it's a four round. After 4 years, you're hitting the market.
I have a question. Can either you and any of you, can you guys explain to me this whole franchise thing when the player says they're going to sign a franchise thing? Can you explain what the fuck that means? For years, I've never knew what the fuck that meant.
It's just a restricted salary cap that he locks them down for a one-year deal so they can't go anywhere. That's all it means. They take the average of the top five salaries in that position, and that's what the one-year salary would be. So, like, a quarterback would be close to, like, $35 million a year if they get franchise tagged.
Because I know that's the whole thing with
Saquon. Yeah, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing with Saquon that's been going on.
Yeah, but Saquon fucked himself.
I personally think it's the dumbest thing because they're pretty much saying, yeah, we're going to slap this one-year deal on you. You can't talk to any other team.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, the franchise tag is basically a one-year prove-it deal where, you know, the player really doesn't have any freedom. It's like you sign it or that's that. And it's annoying. And the thing is, there's, I mean, they use it a lot on running backs because the running back shelf life is so short nowadays because of, you know, the nature of the game. I mean, running backs are getting the shit kicked out of them from day one. And the thing is, unless you have a good line, you're running back into the ground. Like, say, Josh Jacobs or Saquon when he first started. These running backs don't get injured, you know, just because. They get injured because they have so much wear and tear on them in such a short amount of time, and franchises nowadays don't care. I mean, look at it. If it's not for Saquon, the Giants wouldn't get to the playoffs.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. They make it in. They might not beat Minnesota.
No, I will go on. I won't go that far. I'm sorry. I do not trust Danny Dirks. I don't. I never have. I never will.
See,
and every time that someone's like, oh, it's a different Daniel Jones, I'm proven right and why I don't trust him. And the fact that he got that much money, the Giants gave Dirks the farm and told Saquon to prove it. That is fucked up. Especially when the Giants don't have that line. I mean, it's like, and the thing is, I mean, I was talking with a coworker about this. I'm like, dude, the Giants could have signed the same guy like Daniel Jones in the draft this year, Will Levis. Same thing. I mean, it's not like Daniel Jones has produced a lot. He hasn't. I mean, let's be honest. He hasn't.
And hold on. First off, you said Daniel Jones got paid. His contract is actually like, for second year contracts, it's middle of the road.
At that time, he was actually one of the highest paid quarterbacks. Now it's middle of the road.
No, it was not. Average he made was making $19 million a year. That's nowhere near high-end quarterbacks. 4 years, $160 with a $36 million signing bonus. So he was making $40 million a year, $40 million a year's average.
Okay, still, I mean, they signed him to a big deal at the time. At the time when he signed it, it was one of the biggest deals.
No. Hold on. Really? Was one of the biggest deals. Patrick Mahomes signed a half-billion-dollar contract same year.
Mahomes is worth it. Jones isn't.
$19 million. You know how much the franchise tag was for quarterbacks? 32.
Mm-hmm.
He paid half of the franchise tag for the year. And you still locked him down for 4 years. If they're going to go with what this kid is actually going to be, because we don't know what the Jets are going to be now, or the Giants are going to be behind their fucking coach, because let's face it, Joe Judge would have turned Daniel Jones into unemployment line Jones.
Well, but that's the thing. Coaching makes all the difference in the world, because look, Brian Daboll, he brought the fun out of this entire team. And most importantly, I just saw a group of men that left it all on the field for Brian Daboll. They wanted to play for him. You didn't see that with Joe Judge, and you didn't see that with Pat Shurmur or Ben McAdoo, because they didn't know what they were doing. And to Daniel Jones' defense, really doesn't help when one of your coaches was a special teams coordinator who thought he was Bill Belichick, but we all know there's only one Bill Belichick. I'm talking about Joe Judge. But the minute Brian Daboll got his hands on him, look, you saw a different guy. Yeah, the numbers weren't eye-popping, but he was in more control of the game. Now, they put weapons around him. They got him Jalin Hyatt from the University of Tennessee, and they got him Darren Waller.
Oh, and they got their blind side protected, because the blind side got paid today.
Ooh, Andrew Thomas?
Oh, yeah, 5 years, 117.
Wow.
Oh, and it's just finalized. The Yankees just beat the Mets 3-1.
Yeah, okay, well, we split the series with them. Woo.
Hey, piss off.
No, just woo. What does it do? But what does it mean, Basil?
Piss off.
I mean, moral victories?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't really do shit for anybody. But Thomas got signed. 67 guaranteed, $117 million extension for 5 years. Daniel Jones' blind side is protected.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying Saquon doesn't deserve the money, but the problem is you get these guys, like, see, because Saquon does what CMC does what, oh, God damn it, not Diggs, what the fuck's his name? Kid out of San Francisco.
Debo,
thank you. He actually catches the ball, Saquon. He's not just a running back, he's a all-purpose back.
Yeah.
But the other thing is Saquon can't, the problem is Saquon can't stay healthy.
No, he can't.
That is why they tagged him. Not because, oh, well, we can get him for cheap. Yeah, okay. Jerry Jones loves to do that. Look at Zeke and so on and so forth. But when it came down to it, they offered Saquon 4 years, $12 million extension a year. So don't give me the bullshit that he's not getting paid, because they were going to give him $12 million a year and make him almost one of the highest paid running backs in the sport. He turned it down because he thought he could get more. Well, it bit you in the ass.
Well,
you played the game, you fucked around and found out.
That's an interesting way of putting it, but you're not wrong.
No, he fucked around and found out. He decided to play the game. The game bit him in the ass. He had at the trade deadline, when they had their bye week, they laid out two contracts to Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. He had a week to think of it. Daniel Jones took it. Saquon didn't. Now Saquon went and had a great year. But they didn't see him being more than a $12 million a year back.
Saquon.
So, I mean, because it also goes with Diggs. He He wants $14 million a year. There's no way he's going to get that.
Who, Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Could he get
9? Could he get 10? Maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly,
contract extension last year.
What?
He just signed an extension last year.
Oh, who am I? No. Who's the one that's the running back that's out there on free agency?
Who, Dalvin Cook?
Cook, thank you. He wants 14.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him that.
Okay, Chris bounced.
Did he really?
He's got hearing issues.
Damn.
I shouldn't be saying that on a hot mic, but.
I don't think he liked your comment when you kind of called him out.
Too bad. Okay, it's the truth though. Daniel Jones is not making a monster contract. Even for the time that he got it. He's the 22nd highest paid. Okay, here we go. I actually have it right now. For the cap hit, the NFL, he is the 22nd paid quarterback when it comes to the cap this year.
Who is? Daniel Jones? Danny Dimes?
Danny Dimes. 22nd.
I got to stop calling him that. That sounds like a porn star's name.
Danny Dimebag?
Hey, don't say the name Dimebag.
What?
I say that's my boy Daryl Abbott, who was murdered on stage, man.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that, brother.
Dimebag Daryl Abbott of Pantera, man, was murdered on stage.
Wow.
I was gonna say, Christian, you're a little too young for that.
Yeah.
And I was at a show. I saw him perform 8 days before he was killed.
But
look,
like,
look. Y'all can say what y'all want about my age. I love being a young guy. Ronnie, why are you laughing? You only, what, a year older than me?
I mean, my knees will say different. But here's the thing.
I told you about trying to twerk.
Hey. The video's out there somewhere. Oh, my God, what are you talking about twerking? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, dude, I don't need Deanna calling me.
You're a bad influence. So Saquon made $8 million, $10 million total this year when you count signing bonus. Daniel Jones is only making $9 million this year. The highest paid player right now for this year as going in right now is Leonard Williams, making $18 million this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about that contract that Justin Herbert just got?
Yeah, Herbert got paid.
And you know what? I'll elaborate on it. He deserves every penny.
John, yeah.
Let me tell you about this kid, right?
So hold on. Let me tell you what the contract is. It's a reported 5-year, $262.5 million contract.
Jesus Christ.
Where now, 218 is guaranteed, containing a no-trade clause on top of that.
Now, there have been 3 quarterbacks to get contract extensions so far this year, right?
Right.
Jalen Hurts was the first, Lamar Jackson was the second, and Justin Herbert just got his yesterday, which means one thing. Guess who's about to get paid next, Ronnie?
I'm trying to think who's on that list. I mean,
Kyler Murray, or does he already get paid?
Oh, hell no. Nah. He got paid last year.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow's next, yeah.
Yeah. Justin Herbert is the closest thing I've seen to Dan Marino.
Wow.
I mean, listen, if he keeps playing like he's playing, he might be considered Dan Marino.
No, I'm not talking about it from that aspect, Rob.
I'm just saying, if he keeps playing the way he is, he might be considered Dan Marino.
But, no, look at the way Dan threw that ball. I get flashbacks with Justin Herbert because, John, let me tell you, Justin Herbert may have the best live arm in the National Football League because he's a tall guy at, what, 6'5", 6'6", so he sees the entire field, right? But he can put that throw on the money and make a defense pay if you slip up
And if you give him any ounce of wiggle room or space, like I remember a play from his rookie year. The Chargers were playing Tampa Bay. This was Brady's first year in Tampa. And the Bucs ran a cover zero. Now, a cover zero is an all-out blitz, so there's no
jailbreak
in black in the back. And they were coming for him, and he threw, in my opinion, the best pass that I saw a quarterback throw that year. And this is a rookie at that time. I mean, he put that throw on the money, and his guy caught it, and it ended up being a touchdown. No, they didn't win the game. And then, you know, I often think of the first time he played. He came in and almost led the Chargers to a victory over Kansas City. And when you have Patrick Mahomes giving you your praise and your credit, that means you did something right. I mean, he can move the pocket. He can throw across his body. Quarterbacks don't. A thing that quarterbacks really get scolded for because coaches don't want quarterbacks throwing across their body because what happens when you do that? The ball gets intercepted. But he knows how to put that throw on the money.
You know what he reminds me of when he throws across his body? He looks a lot like Vic.
Nah.
No, coming across his body, though.
Nah, I don't see it.
But you know what? You know what it is? Every time you guys mention Dan Marino, I have flashbacks of PTSD when he screwed the Jets over that one game.
Motherfucker, I spent 20 years in the stands at Giant Stadium watching Marino kill us.
You know what play I'm talking about where he looked like he was going to spike it and end up throwing the fucking end zone? I still have flashbacks of that game. I stopped eating at his restaurant because I keep seeing his face while I'm eating, and I want to throw up.
I stopped buying ISO toners because of that reason. If you get that joke, you're welcome.
ISO toners. Jesus Christ.
Get that joke. Thank you very much. And he's here. Oh, God. Yeah, no.
But the way this kid, he's a top five quarterback. I mean, my top five coming into the year, it's Herbert at five, Jalen Hurts at four, Josh Allen at three, Joe Burrow at two, and Patrick at one.
Now, with the show Quarterbacks that just came out, do you see, and we'll get into this more when we get into the previews, what do you see Minnesota doing this year?
I think they're going to be figured out this year. Yeah, they had a great year. Rookie head coach Justin Jefferson had the season of his life. But, you know, I think now that there's film on them, they'll be good, but I don't think they're going to be as explosive as they were last year. And, look, I think I may be the only person that does this, but I defend Kirk Cousins because Kirk has put that team in countless positions to win that game, win games. Right? It's the defense that's always let him down. And I just always continuously say, he can only play on one side of the ball, so you can't put this on Kirk. His defense let him down. He puts the defense in a position to go out there with the lead. You
but
get what I'm saying?
Cousin took a team in Washington that stood no chance in hell and took him, what, 3 seconds from the fucking Super Bowl?
Nah, because he never won a playoff game in Washington.
He was hurt, wasn't he?
Yeah, he never.
Now, who are you talking about now? Who's this guy you're talking about now?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Is he still playing? I thought he retired.
Yeah, he's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Taking care of them juicy Lucy's.
I think, oh, God.
I want to try one of those fucking sandwiches. Don't knock those things.
Oh, those are good.
They're fucking
good.
Hot cheese in the middle, two burgers? Fuck yeah, give me some of that.
Listen, they're as iconic as Chicago's cake shakes.
Ugh, you don't want those. those shits will give you the runs.
Oh, those shits will give you the shits. Damn right they will.
Yeah, they will.
Okay, so, John, if you don't know what a cake shake is,
I've heard of them. I've never had them.
So in Chicago, and Christian can tell me if I'm lying, there's one place that sells them, where they take an entire slice of double stacked chocolate cake and just take ice cream or a slurry, not even ice cream, and just take the cake to a blender and drop the entire slice of cake in.
I've seen that before. I've seen those before. I've never had it, but I have seen those. Never had one, but I have seen it.
Yeah, dude, you're going to need to be wearing a Depend after you drink that shit.
Just make sure you don't have the ivory seats for the Cubs game.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, you didn't get that joke until just then.
God, I almost hung up.
Oh, but, damn.
But no, so, all right. We got some college football news, and I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are, Christian. And John, feel free to ask questions.
I'll try.
So, with the Pac-12 pretty much dissolving,
mm-hmm.
we have the first team officially jumping ship.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the Big 12, Colorado next year will be leaving the Pac-12 and be going to the Big 12.
They might as well just slash the Big 12. I mean, the Pac-12 as a whole, because UCLA is leaving, right?
They're gone.
USC is leaving, right?
Yeah, well, they're going to come to the Big 10 next year.
Which makes no sense to me, but...
Yeah.
Oh,
trust me, it makes no sense to me either.
No. Like, if anything,
I don't know anything about it, so I can't.
If anything,
the Big Ten is where Rutgers and Nebraska and all them. It's literally like the middle of the United fucking States. With Rutgers, and then Rutgers and Maryland are over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Michigan, Northwestern, Nebraska. Like, you might as well just get rid of the Pac-12 and put them with like the SEC or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much, because. I don't get it.
I think them going to the Big 12 might be better for them because they're going to get smoked. You open up with TCU, and dude, the amount of money that Vegas has thrown up and like, oh, yeah, we're going to bet on Colorado to win the division. They had to pull it down because they were afraid that they might take too much of a bath on it. How are you worried about taking a bath when you have USC, UCLA, and Utah in your fucking league? Oh, yeah, and on top of that, like Washington, like you have some Oregon State, Oregon. Like Colorado's not going to finish. They might go bowling, but they ain't going to finish shit.
What, this year?
Yeah.
I think they went 5 games. You know, I just think every other team in their conference right now is stronger than them because they have to play Oregon, and I think they have to play Oregon in Eugene, if I'm not mistaken.
I will find out. Keep talking.
They have to play USC, and I know that one's in Boulder, and I think they also play Utah, if I'm not mistaken, right there, who I just listed. Those are the three top teams in the Pac-12.
All right, here we go. Colorado. And we'll get to this more when we get into the actual Pac-12 review, which is in like 2 weeks. Open up TCU. Home against Nebraska. Home against Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
At Oregon.
That's a loss.
Home against USC.
That's a loss.
At Arizona State.
That's a tough game. That's a loss.
Home against Stanford.
That could be a loss, too.
At UCLA.
That could be a win. Because
and that's
UCLA,
on, well, it's on Halloween, so I guarantee you that is a Pac-12 after dark game.
Ain't nobody care.
What do you, now, all right, here's the question. All right, this will be a question for you. What the hell would you mean when you say Pac after dark? What is it, a late night game?
It's on the East Coast. It would be an 11 o'clock start, but over there it's a 9 o'clock start. But there, when they say Pac-12 after dark, there's a kind of an aura about said game because there's nothing else on. But somehow, when it's a 9 o'clock start, the games get fucked.
Is it kind of like when the Mets play on the West Coast type of deal when they play?
No, Christian, you vouch for me on this. The games make no sense. Like, you can see a game and be like, oh, Michigan's playing Arizona State in Arizona State. Michigan State's going to win. How do you know this? I go, because it's Pac-12 after dark. Something weird's going to fucking happen. Shit just ends up being weird.
Yeah, it does.
You can get a game in the middle of October and it's 110 degrees and fucking 9 o'clock at night in Arizona in Sun Devil Stadium. Like, what? Like, that's why people, like, this year UCLA has to play Coastal Carolina in a Pac-12 after dark game in UCLA, and it's like, I'm not touching that game.
Mm-hmm.
Not touching it, because it just feels like it's going to be a fucking weird, it's going to be a wacky-ass game show.
Oh, very good reference there.
Yeah. And then to end the year, they close out Utah at Utah.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule for them. They start on a road against the runner-ups, and then they end against the team that I think wins the Pac-12 this year. And, Ronnie, now I can finally announce it. I finally know what I'm previewing week one of college football.
Week one or week zero?
No, week one. I ain't doing shit for week zero.
You're not going to do Notre Dame Navy?
No. Why?
Ireland.
Okay.
It's also Notre Dame Navy.
Okay.
Hey, you never know.
Okay.
I'm guessing here. Ronnie, I'm guessing he's okay.
Yeah, I think so.
okay.
Oh, God. It's not TCU Colorado, is it?
Nah, I'm going to do LSU and Florida State.
Okay, I knew that.
And then I'm going to do North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Because game day announced that's where they're going for week one.
I mean, we even talked about that. We called that.
Yeah. I called it. I don't know about you.
We were on the phone when I fucking said it, Dick.
You know I don't listen to you.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm your producer. Remember that.
Uh-oh. I mean, my bad, Ronnie. Man. Hey, look. You don't play as fuck up. You know what I'm saying? My bad, dog.
Boy, I haven't seen somebody backpedal that fast.
my bad, dog. You know this shit, right? My bad, dog.
Boy, so, you left skid marks on that backpedal, bro.
So, all right. There's another thing that happened, too, that we are going to be seeing John Harbaugh be suspended for the first four games due
Jim
to
Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. Sorry. Either way, it's pointless. He's being suspended for not cooperating in a investigation from the NCAA.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the dumbest shit in the world, the fact that you're going to have him suspended for the first four games.
Yeah,
and
I just want to
suspending
see...
him. Why? Now, why are they suspending him?
For not cooperating in investigation by the NCAA for academics.
Okay.
And they'll suspend the coach because he pretty much dragged his feet.
So what? A player was not eligible or something and he let him play anyway?
They really didn't explain it, but they're saying he...
But is it kind of like that, though?
Yes. Yeah. They're going to suspend him apparently for four games and, oh boy, clown show ahoy. And I'll even make fun of this one. Would you like to know who the four games are? By the way, they're all home games.
Yeah, let me hear it.
They open up with East Carolina.
Okay. Oh, Michigan?
Oh, Michigan.
That's a win.
UNLV.
A win.
Bowling Green.
A win.
Rutgers.
A win.
Then he comes back and he can start coaching against Nebraska and Minnesota.
Wow.
So what is suspending him four games actually? Okay. You suspend him for the fourth game. Rutgers might might put up a fight in the first half. Give them credit. Michigan's going to probably be ranked 2 in the nation, so I'll fucking take it. But it's also in the, all four of them are in the fucking big house. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to suspend him for 4 games. Fuck off. I don't know. I don't like the fact that they're going to be doing that shit. It's like, ugh, why?
Yeah.
But no, that was a big news. Harbaugh is going to get suspended probably for 4 games. The Pac-12 is now going to be molded into the Big 12. Scary news at a basketball, college basketball, fucking Bronny ended up having a cardiac arrest.
He's
in stable condition, though, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, you don't want that to happen to anybody.
No.
No.
I have my reasons for why I think that, but I will not say that on air. I may say, quote unquote, we want to be the Howard Stern of this, but I ain't opening up those can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
I will put it in the chat for you guys so you can understand it.
Yeah, put it in the chat because I think I know what you're about to say.
Yep.
That's the reason why I think he had a cardiac arrest, because myocarditis.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Please do.
So, Tennessee, the other news that we missed last week, Tennessee actually had to pay $8 million in fine for over 200 infractions, and they're going to keep their bowl eligibility. Holy shit, they fucking had to pay $8 million in fines. That's ridiculous. For recruiting infraction. They were giving the recruits money. Now it's legal. Back then it wasn't. All right. There's no other real news in there. We should probably dive into the Mountain West. John, you are welcome to join your one if you'd like. Christian, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Also, John, if you have any questions about these teams.
I've been asking him when I...
Oh, no, I'm saying about these teams, because I can guarantee you you're not going to know pretty much any of these teams.
I don't doubt I won't know any of these fucking teams.
So we're going to the Mountain West, a.k.a., as Christian likes to call it, Pig Fuckers Anonymous. If you get that joke, congratulations. You will now be on a West Coast trip to Hawaii. So right now, the favorite out of all this is, of course, you know, the Blue Terps of Boise State. I'll get into who I think might actually win this, but let's start off with Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Air Force went 10-3 last year. They bring back 6 players on offense. 7 players on defense. Their over-under is 8.5. Went 10-3 last year. Their non-conference games are Robert Morris at Sam Houston, at Army, obviously, and at Navy.
Mm-hmm.
They go over. I mean, Sam Houston's a win. Robert Morrison's a win. Utah State probably is a win. They will get tripped up, if anything. I probably see them getting tripped up around, you know, Navy and Army like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be shocked, say, like a Wyoming team can sneak in a win. I don't think they go 10-3. I think they go 9-4, but they do go over.
I can see it.
John, any questions about that or no?
No, you. If I
it's
have anything,
Air,
I'll ask.
I was going to say, it's Air Force, so people know it's the academies.
I mean, some of those teams sounded familiar, but like I said, I don't know enough about them. And just go ahead, continue.
Okay, next, Boise State, the Blue Turf, the Broncos, pretty much the first. Christian, would you consider them the first mid-major team that ever made waves?
Who?
Boise.
Yeah.
Because the Statue of Liberty, everyone remembers that play.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too.
Fucking on the grainy-ass Fox screens. Go back and watch that game now. Oh, my God, the pitcher was horrible.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. They are projected to win right now. They are to win the Mountain West. Shocking. 9 players come back on offense, including quarterback. Pretty much everybody except the center and the guard. 5 come back on defense. No special teams. They went 10-4 last year. Non-conference games are at Washington, UCF, North Dakota, and at Memphis. Their over-under is also 8.5. I don't think they hit 8.5, though. I honest to God think they go 8-5. I think they hit under.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because they lost last year to Fresno State. God damn it, that's right. Fresno State won the fucking Mountain West last year. Shows how much I fucking paid attention to the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of these stadiums, like, oh, they fit 30,000. How the fuck do they only fit 30,000? For a college stadium. Next, we go to the Colorado State Rams. Colorado State over-under is 5 on Vegas. They only bring back 4 players on offense, but they bring back their quarterback. 8 players, though, come back on defense, so it's a pretty stacked defense. Their non-conference games are Washington State, Colorado, Middle Tennessee, and where is your final game? Utah Tech. Jobbers Anonymous.
Ain't nobody care.
No. 5, what did they go last year? 3-9? Oh, they're staying there. They're going 4. They're winning maybe 1 game, but they're going under there. They're going 4-8. They're going under. They ain't going bowling. Fuck that. All right, next on here, we have talked about this team already. Fresno State. Bring back 4 on offense, 7 on defense. Their over-under is 8.5. They open up their season with Purdue, Eastern Washington, Kent State, and where are it? Where is it? It's not even on. And Arizona State. I think this team beats Purdue to open the season. I think they get 9-4. I think they get close to coming to, I think they go over their win total. And I think Fresno State actually goes back to playing the net, into the, title game.
Yeah. But can they be consistent? That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, right now, like I even said as a best bet, I really do like Fresno to beat Purdue.
Like, I can see that.
It's at Purdue, but Purdue is not a good team.
They're not a good team, but they play people tough.
Yeah. I mean, they always do. They play down and dirty with other teams. But, I mean, also with weather, Fresno likes to muck up shit, too. If this was out in California, I would say there's a better chance. But right now, I believe they're 5-point underdogs. Going into that game. It's all day, every day. Actually, they're 5.5 now. I'll gladly take that. All right, next up. Get on your Hawaiian shirt there, Christian. Time to go to Pigs Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is over under for Hawaii. We're going to the island, boys. 3.5
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me guess. Man, don't nobody care.
Oh, wait till you read what I have for them. So,
next team.
Well, let me give my what I think about them. They only bring back 3 on offense. 7 though come back on defense, which usually is the biggest part of Hawaii. Their non-conference schedule is Vanderbilt, Stanford, Albany, and oh God, what the hell? In Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They're over under 3.5 I think they win 4 games, especially when half of their shit is home. They're going to win 4. They can beat Stanford. They're definitely going to beat Albany. And then you're telling me they can't beat, like, Nevada or New Mexico State? Yes. Yeah. They're going to go 4. I know you don't give a shit, Christian.
No, I don't.
All right, well, then let's go to the next one. Nevada, the Wolfpack. Another team pretty much starting fresh. 4 on offense coming back. 6 on defense coming back.
Yeah, I think the defensive side is really going to carry things for them. Their defense is going to win them a lot of games until the new offensive players are able to get further incorporated into the offense.
So their non-conference schedule, they're at USC, home against Idaho, home against Kansas, and at Texas State. They can win. They can go 3-1 right there. Obviously, mm-hmm. they ain't beating USC on the home opener. Hell no. But if they can beat Idaho, they can beat Kansas. Kansas is going to take a step back this year, I think. And then Texas State, and then they only got to really beat UNLV. They're 4. I'm going over. I'm saying they're going to go bowling this year. I got them getting 6.
I can see that.
Yeah. All right. Next, the New Mexico Lobos. Who gives a fuck? Seriously. 4 on offense. 4 people come back on offense. 1's not even a starter. And 2 on defense. This is an Etch-a-Sketch team, if I've ever seen one. Just shake it and restart. They're non-conference games. They're at Texas A&M. That's a loss. Tennessee Tech. New Mexico State. I always think that freaking New Mexico State's in the Mountain West, but they're not. And UMass. Is it bad to say that I have them going under?
No, because I do too.
I have them winning 2 games.
Oh, God.
Tennessee Tech and UMass. Those are the only 2 games I see them winning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next, the San Diego State Aztecs. Over under in Vegas is 7. They bring back 4 players on all, no, sorry. Yeah, 4 players on offense, 2 players on defense. The difference is San Diego State has recruiting. Their non-conference games are Ohio, Idaho State, UCLA, and Oregon State.
Ain't nobody care.
Unfortunately, I see them winning 6 games. They're going to go bowling, but they are going to finish under.
I said what I said.
I know you did. Well, then you're going to love the San Jose Spartans. Oh, boy. Their over-under is 5.5. They bring back 7 players on offense, including their quarterback. 6 players on defense, no one on special teams. Shocker. Their non-conference games, Oregon State, Cal Poly, at Toledo, and Air, no, sorry, they play Air Force. Air Force is in the division. No, they only have 3 non-conference games. I think so. I think they only have 3 non-conference games. Okay. That's interesting. I thought people usually had 4. Okay, then. Their over-under, like I said, was 5.5. Oh, this is a 4. This is a hard under. Yeah, hell no. So hold up, wait a minute. What do you think?
This is who again?
San Jose State.
Ain't nobody care.
Indulge me.
Ain't nobody care.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That's his purse. He don't know you.
That's my purse.
I don't know you.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
I don't know you.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Aw, man. That's no fun without Ryan here, man.
Okay. Welcome back.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
That's, I say that and you come back. That's what happens when you eat too much Chili's.
Hey, do not insult the taco bar.
That's what happens when you fucking eat Chipotle.
Yes.
And
White Castle.
You leave White Castle alone, motherfucker.
when you have to really use the bathroom.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Technical nuke coming in.
Yeah. Tactical nuke incoming!
In there.
I am a moron!
I think we've all... we've
I'm
all been
40! I'm a man! I'm 40! Like I said, the whole fuck around and find out bullshit.
Good lord.
Alright, speaking of fuck around and find out, UNLV! 6 over-under. They bring back 5 on offense, 6 on defense. They're non-conference games. Bryant at Michigan, Vandy, and at UTEP. UNLV has only been known for one thing, basketball. They ain't a football school. You have them at 6? Hell to the no. They're going to win 5 under.
They're going to win 3.5.
Can't win a half game in college. You can win a half game in the NFL.
You can win a half game in college, okay? Fucking rain delay, and then it never picks back up. Shit happens. Come on.
Listen, that makes as much sense as Peter Dinklage saying little people don't need dwarf rolls.
No.
Oh, shit.
Just disrespectful. Disrespectful to who? A-Rod said he likes to punch midgets. Wait, what?
What?
Wait, whoa. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Am I right?
Jesus!
That was actually a thing. Christian, have you seen this video yet? From the K-Rod?
I gotta see it.
So he's teaching people how to swing.
Yeah.
Like how to swing. He goes, you have to bring your hands down. Pretend like you're punching a midget.
Oh, God.
I'm like, saying, because that was a thing back when I would practice, like when we were practicing, coaches would say, pretend you're hitting a little person. Just come down like down that axe angle.
But you know, you kind of got to have the offensive imagery in sports, because I have possibly the worst one.
Oh no.
Uh oh.
What a pop
Technical
figure.
Technical new coming
hold
in.
Hold on. You mean a pop figure of stereotypes?
Oh no. So I do a top rope elbow drop.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are worried about a top rope elbow drop.
You hit people on the balls.
So my advice is to treat it like a rape. Just close your eyes and wait for it to be over.
And we're canceled.
Jesus! Oh, Lordy.
Christian, you want to say it?
Ain't nobody care.
Y'all need Jesus.
I was just thinking that shit. Oh, that was a technical
so long,
if I've ever
Bowser.
Heard one.
Hey, you're right.
Hold on. Ryan just went. I mean, the other one I can easily go into is, I gotta find it real quick. But no, like, here we go. Yeah, Ryan, this is how I feel about this.
We'll always love you. I can't believe you did this to me. God damn it. How could you do this to me?
Oh, Christian, how many do you think UNLV is going to win?
I'll say 4.
Okay, so you got them going under 2. Speaking of another team that's not going to do shit, the Utah State Aggies. They bring back 4 on both ends of the floor, offense and defense. Their over-under's 5. Their non-conference games, Iowa, Idaho State, James Madison, and Connecticut. They ain't beating Iowa. They're not beating Iowa in Kinnick.
Nah, they're not. Maybe if they were on the road, yeah.
I was going to say, if they were home, yeah, they have a chance. But they're not beating Iowa in Iowa.
Right.
Okay there, buddy Christ. By the way, I have one. Oh, hold on. I have one question for you. What's a Nubian?
Bitch, you almost made me laugh.
I didn't know you were going to scream black rage.
Christian, have you ever...
Why I got to be black rage?
Have you ever seen Chasing Amy?
Yeah, Christian,
yes,
have you ever
I
seen
have.
The movie?
Yeah.
That's where we got it from.
That's why I said, if you ever hear me go, what's a Nubian?
Bitch, you almost made me laugh.
What's a Nubian?
Speaking of wanting to laugh, you guys want to laugh? I'll show you something funny.
Oh, God.
Christian, did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes, I did.
I sent him a Vic DiVincenzo rant.
Oh, Jesus, why?
It was after last night's Mets-Yankees game.
By the way, Utah State wins 4.
Hold on, let me see if I can send this to you guys.
Ryan, what do you think? What do you think Utah State's going to do?
4.
What?
4!
4! Christian?
Ain't nobody care.
Okay. Now we got to go to the one place that no one wants to go play. Because it's go from Hawaii to Wyoming.
Damn it. Why can't I? God, don't we have a message thread with all of us?
It's in, yeah. On what? On?
On Skype.
Skype
is yeah. What we're in now.
Damn it. Why isn't it let me find it? I'm on my phone. I do the show from my tablet.
Oh. Hold on.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
I just sent you I just put the text for the group chat in there, so just find that.
Yeah, because all of you are going to laugh at this, especially what's his name? There it is. Okay.
What's
especially
his name?
John.
Which?
John.
Oh,
especially John.
I'm a what's his name?
Oh, stop it, brother. You know what I mean.
So, all right. So, the Wyoming Cowboys, they bring back 5 on offense. And 10 on defense.
This might be the team to watch.
They have – it's just one quarterback. And I bet you the quarterback was already there. And he just never started.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
This team is going to be – yeah, this 6. I think – so their non-conference games are Texas Tech. That's a possible win.
Right.
Portland State. That's a win. At Texas. That's probably a loss because it's at Texas.
Okay. I just sent it to you guys.
All right, hold on.
And then and Appalachian State. Those three are home in Wyoming, which are probably going to be night games. which is going to be some cold ass shit. I actually have them winning 10 games this year.
Yeah, I think they're the favorites to win this.
Christian, season. You're disturbing. God damn.
I have them winning 10 games, and I have them going to the final. I have them going to the conference finals against Fresno.
Chico State.
Did you just say Chico State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a team called Chico State.
Fresno.
I was going to say, what's their name? The bad guys?
Fresno Chico.
Do they throw toothpicks at their opponents?
No, they're a party school.
Oh, so then they throw beer cups.
Only the empty ones.
I mean, depends on what cheerleaders you find down there. It could be something else.
Hello.
Hey, listen. Nothing can beat Rutgers. We literally have a statistic.
In 1974, I did Rutgers.
I mean, you're probably the reason why one out of every three person has an STD.
Oh, I can guarantee that, sweetheart.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
I bothered you, boys.
Oh, God.
Onita!
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you tell
yeah.
us it's been a...
Ronnie, did you see what I sent?
Not yet. I'll watch it when we get off the air.
Oh, Ronnie, it's only 7 seconds. You got to watch it.
Watch it. Yeah, John.
How much you won after that?
Huh?
How much did he want after that?
Nothing.
So, all right. So let's finish this up. So, Christian, who do you have winning the Mountain West?
Wyoming.
Who do you have them facing?
I'm gonna. Who was the team before Wyoming? That you.
So, we did Wyoming, but Utah State was there. That was not the next. The next team that would be on this list that we both agreed to is either Air Force or Fresno.
I'm gonna say Air Force.
Because I have them both at 9-4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's true. I mean, Boise could also do that. We could literally have a Wyoming-Boise.
Yeah. I can see that.
I'm curious. What is Wyoming's money line to win the Mountain West? I'm very curious at that because they're not a team. They're a team that's like being projected to be middle of the road, 6-6. And you know me, when I see that's money signs for me.
The middle of that road better not come across my intersection.
You said come.
Yeah, that's that intersection to my corner.
11-1. Wyoming. Boise, yeah, obviously. Boise, Fresno, and Air Force are 1, 2, 3.
11-1 sounds like my Saturday night.
God damn it.
Jesus Christ.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
I walked into that one, too.
Yeah, it worked right into that buzzsaw.
I'm not touching that.
What? What the fuck?
No, it'll be a fun conversation.
Don't you have something to announce, Joel, Ivana?
Ivana Tinkle?
No, it's Ivana Snatchy.
on it. Snatch A.
Shut up, Ronnie.
Snatch A.
French. Snatch A. We can't just play him.
Oh, God. I'm just... I have nothing else. If anyone's got anything else they want to talk about, bring it up now, or if not, let's bring this home. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen...
My favorite.
I broke Christian.
Oh, God, my chest. Oh, my left nipple.
My left, what the fuck?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, please follow us on all Twitter, on Twitter, or X going to give it to you, on the Nerd Report Network. If you like us, also follow us individually at Twitter, at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
I can't breathe.
I'm kidding.
Don Kaka, SPL.
Bob Christian at the Daily Blitz.
_61.
Oh, God. if also you like what you heard, please go to our Twitters and click the link for Fanatics, that we are affiliated through Fanatics. So whatever you get kicks back to us, but you also get a discount for using the link. Oh, boy. And, yeah, when that Jersey game comes down, that's going to be a fucking nightmare.
You know, there is one thing that Ivana did want to say.
Oh?
Uh-oh.
Just this one thing, boy. Go to clapcleats.com and use the code NERDPORT. You can't clap cheek without clap cleats.
And with that being said, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you did not like what you heard, what you hear,
you'd be a smart person.
Then join the brigade and come fight freely.
Oh,
well, that being said, tell your enemies, and if you don't believe me, well, then I got two things to say for you. One, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid, and two, if you don't believe me, then this is the fact of life. Yeah. Good night.